Ameritech Property Management. How can I help you?
Yeah, I've got two dogs crapping on my lawn. One of them's as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something died.
You guys sent me a violation notice in the mail. It says my lawn is unsightly. What the hell is that?
If you guys think that you're going to take my house, you got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. That is 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hear only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show.
Good afternoon, folks. We've got a very special guest this afternoon, and he specializes in developing community association websites. He's the CEO and founder of his own company, and he's going to explain to us why it's so important for community associations to have an active website. We'll also talk about the types of information that can be placed on an association website and how it can be made interactive. I think we all would agree that an association website is a great tool for the board of directors of any community to communicate to its residents and homeowners, and anybody else for that matter, that have an interest in the community. It's that and much more right here, right now in the Ameritech Connection. Isn't that right, Sharon?
That's right, Mike, and I agree. We do have a very interesting guest today, and his name is Dan Lewis. He at a very early age was an entertainer, and then he began a successful career as a marketing consultant and website developer. In 1999, he founded his own search engine marketing business called ProfitGate. And over the years, he expanded his services to include web hosting, web marketing, website management, and much more. An interesting fact, in 2010, Dan decided to take all that experience and write a book that would help us to understand how business websites actually work. And the book is called Business Websites 101, Secrets Revealed. And it's sold at Amazon.com. That's Amazon.com. We're pleased to introduce you to a man of many talents, Dan Lewis. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, Dan.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you. Hey, I just want to start out with, you know, in presentations to board of directors, I always say how important a website is. It's a good communication tool. But how exactly can a website help an association?
Well, I would say,
and I know that's a broad question.
It is. And we've got a lot of questions here, so you don't have to, you know, go into.
I would say that a website would help an association much like electricity would help an association. It would bring you into the 21st century, first of all.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
It covers so many things.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of website 101, right?
Yeah, we got to deal with all these things that it can do for you piece by piece because it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot of things that come with a website that helps in so many different ways that I just can't imagine an association not having a website nowadays.
And it depends because each association is uniquely different. So depending on their needs and what they have to offer, then they might expand on those websites.
Well, it's a great tool to communicate. I mean, would you not agree?
Fundamentally, yes.
Yeah, I mean, from the board of directors perspective to the homeowners, I mean, they can put a number of different things, and we'll get a little bit more into that. But what's typically the cost to develop a condo or an HOA website?
Well, you know, it depends on who you go to. You know, one guy will sell you a website for $300, and another guy will sell you a same website for $3,000. Well, what's the difference? Well, it's based on the company you're dealing with, and you know what kind of overhead they have, and who they're paying to do the work. I mean, if the overhead's low, you can get a website done fairly cheap.
Well, for an example, I mean, obviously, ProfitGate is a very reputable company. You've been around for a long time. You started that company. In fact, I've known you for, what, 20 years?
Almost 20, yeah.
Yeah, 20 years. A long time. I mean, you had a lot more hair, but then again, so did I, right?
Yeah.
It's a different color.
I'm still looking for that.
It's a little bit of a different color, too.
I like the color, Dan. Looks good on you.
No, it does. It looks good, Dan. But anyways, so... What would you charge if an assistant? Now, we, as a company, Ameritech, we got four people in our office, and that's all they do is build websites, and you assist them, and you know how that program works.
Right.
But if somebody were to, you know, go to you on their own, what would you charge to develop and build and maintain
just
a website?
Just an average website, you know.
I would say about $950.
Okay.
That's the low end of the sites we build now.
Right.
But
right.
There's a lot more to building a website than what you see on
Would you say that includes photography?
Yeah.
It
would include the images. And it would include...
of their property.
If not writing all the content, because the best person to write the content is the person on the front line, the person that owns the website.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on the content, too. I mean, they could put a tremendous amount of content on there, which they can jack up the price, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, it just goes back to the same old with anything you buy. It depends on how much work you make for the webmaster that builds it. You know, if you're keeping it simple and he doesn't have to spend a lot of hours, then he can do it for less money.
Right.
If you start adding a lot of fancy bells and whistles, it's going to cost more, obviously.
Right. Okay. Right. So what does it take to maintain and keep the website updated? What are the technical aspects of that?
I mean, after it's built, right?
Yeah, once it's built.
Well, after it's built, there's two things that people don't usually think about that is fundamental to the maintenance of the website. Number one, if your domain should expire, then your website expires with it.
Right.
So,
good point.
If you don't renew the domain, you know, you lose your website.
You lose it.
So that has to be kept renewed.
And that's an annual basis,
it's
right?
It's an annual thing, yeah.
Okay.
And then the other thing is hosting it. You know, where is this website? Where does it physically exist? Where are the files that make it up? In your case, Mike, the association sites are located in a server in something that looks like a bunker in Orlando.
Right. Well, we've got so many. I mean, we've got, I don't know, 250, 300 association websites.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've spent so much time, as
and
you
growing.
Well know. And growing. That's good. Coming from my director of marketing, right?
Yeah.
But we have spent so much time developing these websites and the time involved, because we do it for free for our community associations for the first year. I mean, they get a free website if they join Ameritech. They own the website.
Yeah.
So for whatever reason, if they choose, right, Sharon, if they choose not to stay with Ameritech, very unlikely that'll ever happen.
Right, I agree. But, you know, maybe a board member or a homeowner wants to take it over. We're fine with that.
Right.
You know, they can have it. Like you said, Mike, it's theirs.
But the first year is free. We develop it. We host it. We maintain it. They own the domain. They own everything. And then after that, the second year, it's only $400 a year. And then, you know, we can modify it. We can change things. I mean, we update the content with the minutes and meeting dates and all the other stuff. And we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, what we can put on the actual websites. But, you know, it's we talked earlier about the ownership. And
right.
I know you had a story, which I thought was interesting, on the ownership of a domain, and some poor guy got kind of really hosed on that regard.
Right.
Why don't you tell us that story?
Well, I actually I mentioned this whole thing in my book. Basically, a guy had a webmaster build him a website. He was selling things. that were expensive. They were 10 grand or more for each of his products. And the webmaster took photos of all the products and built a website and got the domain and set it all up. I didn't know anything about this until the owner of the company walked in my office one day, and he was about in tears. He was very upset, and you know, he wanted a way out, because this webmaster, well, that webmaster had pulled a fast one. He put his email address.
And his business was all predicated on sales generated through this website. Yeah. So and if that website went down, he was out of business.
Oh, yeah, and he was making like five figures a week off this site.
Right.
I mean, real good money. And what happened was the guy came to him after it was all done. It was very little work to be done from then on. Just once in a while maintenance stuff. And all of a sudden he says, hey, I want this much money. It's thousands of dollars a month. Or I'll shut your site off. And the guy says, well, you can't do that. And he goes, watch me. So rather than take a chance, he paid the guy. And he had been paying him.
That's extortion.
Yeah. He had been paying him for, I forget how long. It was many months, though. And he started looking for a way out, but he couldn't figure it out. So when he came to me, I looked it up. And sure enough, the domain name had the owner's proper name and address and company name, but it had the webmaster's email address, and everything depends on that email address when it comes to communicating with the domain company. So fact is, he couldn't access his own domain account. Only the webmaster could. So I basically told him the only way out of this is to build a whole new site, because I see here this guy has copyrighted everything on your website, including all the pictures. So he owns the website. You don't. He owns it.
Which is a complete shame, because, you know, he paid the guy to develop and build it.
Exactly,
the website,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. He paid it all. So anyway, we built a new website, and I set the guy down in my office, and I called up the domain registry, and I told him what to do, and he said, I need my password mailed to me, snail mail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's no problem. They can do that. So we had to wait for the snail mail to get. Well, once he got it, he sent it to me, and we finished up the website. And then the day came we wanted to go live, which happened to coincide with payday for this webmaster.
Well, I'm sure that was intentional.
So in comes the webmaster, and he basically held out his hand for his check, and the guy says, well, I want to show you something. And takes him over to the computer, and he shows him this brand new website. And the guy's eyes about popped out because
yeah,
it was
imagine.
Online.
Right.
And he looks at the address, and it's the address that he thought he controlled.
Right.
But
right.
We had changed the password before this meeting.
Yeah.
So he was locked out.
Is there anything legal, though, when it comes to something like that? Because, you know, I've had some instances with my site, as you well know, the Ameritech site is a huge monster site.
Yeah.
And we had a webmaster at one time try to delete the whole thing. I mean, you, thank goodness, recovered it.
Yeah.
And I know you've got my, how do you got my setup anyways, my website? I mean, are you the webmaster or am I the webmaster? I'm one of those kind of guys that would get taken, because I'm like a fish out of water when it comes to the website type stuff and the IT.
The technical aspects.
That's right.
I'm actually your webmaster for the site, because it's custom code that we use to build it.
Right.
And it's pretty complex. Part of the maintenance of your site, you have your own staff, and I work with them to make sure that they have proper access and answer any questions they might have. If they need something changed that is over their head, they just call me, and I have my programmers take care of it.
Because I trust you. I mean, you've certainly bailed me out
numerous times.
But people should never ever trust anyone with their domain information, because that is the ball game right there. As long as you control the domain name completely, you have access to your domain account. And it's got your name, your company, your address, and your email, most importantly. then you're safe.
Right. Okay? Well, that's why we tell all our community associations that they actually own the domain. And, you know, there are some rare occasions where we'll lose a property and they'll ask for the domain information. We give it right over to them.
Yeah, usually when we announce that, they get pretty surprised because some of the other management companies out there, they take that website away from them when they're let go. So that's unfortunate because there's a lot of work and time involved in that. But it's not a problem when you come to an Ameritech because, again, we've got you and we've got our guys as well working together as a team to build a beautiful website. So a little plug for Ameritech there.
Well, my opinion of the whole scenario is I think anybody or any company that uses extortion or uses a website for leverage like that, you know, as a substitute for just giving good service, I don't think I want to know these people.
No.
I agree. I mean,
I hope that ended well.
There are, yeah, really.
That story.
See, it would have been a poor ending for him. Let me tell you, that was me.
In any case, it would have been a poor ending.
I would have rebuilt my website, but I would have chased him down. I would have sick Sharon on it. She'd have got him in a headlock.
That'd be the end of him.
I know.
She's got some muscles, let me tell you. But anyways, so
how exactly would an association website help the board of directors? How does that help? I mean, there's a lot of good aspects to it, but directly, what would you say?
Well, if I was on the board of directors of an association, I'd demand a website because it just makes everything on your job much easier.
Right.
Not only do you, you know, get a little fame by having your name on the website as a more member of the board, but, you know, there's your contact email there so people can send you an email. That beats somebody banging on your door any day, if you ask me. So.
Well, I agree with you. And just, you know, you can explain a little bit more in detail on emails. But, you know, without a website, they're using their personal emails for communication to the homeowners and everybody else. And then when they choose not to be on the board next year or whatever, they then have to, well, send all sorts of emails out that here's the new email address. Whereas when you create an email or when you create a website, you set up president at ABC Condo Association,
right?
.com or .org, and they just pass on that email, right?
That's right.
I mean, it's just that simple. I mean, it makes so much sense. So it's a permanent email for the association's website, and it just follows whoever the president is, whoever the treasurer is, secretary, any committees. Yeah. How many emails can they have? Can they have, like, a number of them?
Well, I don't know of any limit. I mean, I assume if somebody came and wanted 10,000 emails, I would have to look at their motivation. But, I mean, there is no real limit in a practical sense. You can have all you want. They're easy.
I mean, reasonably, probably maybe 10 to 15 email addresses is all they're going to want to have for any community association, I would think, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Isn't that right, Sharon?
I would. Yeah, that's right. So, so the same thing, what about the website? How does that help a homeowner if they're not on the board?
Well, one of the ways that helps is that all of the information that they need is right there on their computer. All they got to do is go to the website. Suppose they want to know when the next board meeting is. They want to speak up at it. Oh, well, it's right there on the website, isn't it? And if they need a form to accomplish something like sell their condo or rent a room out or whatever, all those forms are right there on the website for the homeowner, so it's great. They don't have to wait for somebody to mail it to them like the good old days.
Right. Or if they want to put a work order in there.
Well, we'll go through the list of the different types of things that we can actually put on a website. But let me ask you this. Who's really controls the website? For an example, I mean, the content that's put on there, if somebody wants to change it, I mean, obviously, I assume it's the board of directors and not the homeowners, right?
That would be right. I mean, it is the association website, and therefore the board of directors would bring about its creation to begin with, and the board of directors would have final say on what goes on that website. If you left it up to all the homeowners, it wouldn't work so smoothly.
Right.
So.
Okay, well, that makes sense. So we were talking a minute ago about the domain name. So who actually manages that? Because that's pretty important, as you pointed out.
Ameritech manages the domain names. and make sure that they're renewed.
All right.
You know, it's kind of weird because, you know, we get these things in the mail, and I'm always calling you, as you well know, because I get, I forget who, you know, they're BS advertisements.
Right.
Renew your domain name for us and do it for, you know, 6 years for $29.95. You know, yeah. I mean, and that's all BS because who do we do it through? We do it through what, GoDaddy?
Yeah. I mean, it's through GoDaddy, and you have a special account where everything's set up to where it's infallible. It gets renewed like clockwork.
Because if those things expire, their website goes away.
That's right.
Now, if it does expire, is there any way to reinstate it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You have some time to, go renew it. And every domain company is different, but I believe GoDaddy gives you several weeks after it expires.
Just weeks?
Yeah, weeks. And then it goes into a redemption period after that where it's going to cost you a lot more to renew it than the annual fee. So you don't want to wait too long.
Well, what's the redemption period,
I'm not sure what the redemption period is currently. They keep changing it every now and then, and it's different with every company, but it's usually in the neighborhood of about 6 weeks. So, if you wait too long, it goes into redemption, and then you have to pay, it's over $100 extra, plus the usual annual fee.
Right.
Now, if it goes all the way that way, and no one renews it, it can actually go back on the market, so anyone could buy it at that point.
Right, right.
Okay.
Let me ask you this, Dan. I mean, I know you host websites, but what do you typically charge to host a website? I mean, is there a lot of...
What's the cost to host a website in general?
Well, we normally charge $20 for hosting a website per month.
Okay.
So that'd be $240 a year.
Which is pretty inexpensive. Now, that doesn't take into consideration... Now, we charge $400 after the first year, but that doesn't take into consideration any content updates, correct?
No.
That's just to host it. That's just to make sure that it's backed up should something happen.
No, right? As you know, I could not do what you do as cheaply as you do it.
Right,
because
our $400 includes the updates each month.
That's right.
So,
and because of that, I couldn't possibly compete with that.
Right.
That's why some years ago we shifted our arrangement to where you had in-house people doing that maintenance.
Well, we just got to a point where, I mean, I've known you for 20 years, and maybe 10, 15 years ago, you were doing most of it.
Yeah.
But we just got to a point where we were so large that it just didn't make economic sense for you to do it. Plus, we needed it done, like, right then and there.
Yeah,
and
really. So yesterday.
It kind of worked out really well. And, we've got, I think, four good guys that, guys and girls, I should say, that do a good job building these websites.
Yeah, they're doing great.
And, and it's built on, I think they're building it on WordPress?
Yes, we use WordPress, which makes it an industry standard. There's last check, over 80 million websites in America use this WordPress.
Oh, wow.
It's the most popular content management system.
Okay, very interesting. Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Please keep listening because we're going to be right back in 2 minutes.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Pasco Towing is your go-to towing service that extends far beyond Pasco County. We provide fast, affordable, 24-hour towing service for all your transportation needs. Local and long-distance towing, collision towing, exotic cars, motorcycles, trucks, and RVs. Pasco Towing is your go-to towing service. Call us at 727-849-1651. Again, that number is 727-849-1651. Or visit us at PascoTowingInc.com.
Having a digital presence for your business is a vital part of your company's success. ProfitGate Web is your complete website resource center, offering web design and hosting, marketing, video production and media management, domain registration, and more. ProfitGate keeps your site up and running, providing exceptional and, most importantly, reliable service since 1999. Call ProfitGate and schedule your digital analysis today. 727-585-3850 or visit their website, profitgateweb.com. Meritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilk & Associates, we pride ourselves at providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly three decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation.
At 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection, and for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Dan Lewis from ProfitGate, and we're talking about association websites. Before we get into more questions here, Dan, I'd like to take, Tommy, I think we have a caller on the line. It's been holding
for a
while.
Yes, you have. The first one up today is Cookie.
Cookie, hi. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You got a question for Dan?
Yes, I do. My question for Dan is, what inspired you to get into the website business?
Oh, what inspired you to get into the website business?
Into the website business?
Yeah.
Ah, interesting question. There was a time when I actually hated computers and wouldn't have anything to do with them.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Oh, wow. That's hard to believe.
Yeah. And it was just about the time that changed that I met the first man or person that knew about the internet.
Oh, okay.
I was a lead generating company owner, and I had about 20 staff members, and I had about 60, 70 companies that I generated sales leads for every week. And one of them was a web designer.
And, oh, well, okay.
Yeah. And
I remember when you first got into it, too, because we knew each other back then. And that was when the World Wide Web, as they call it, was just starting to take off, you know?
Yeah,
that was back when Clinton and Gore were in office, if I recall. Because Gore was the one that originally unleashed the internet on the world, right?
Yeah, he gave it to the world.
Yeah.
Free of charge. No, but anyway, I met this guy named Tony, who became a client, and I did a project for him. But it was, you know, instead of generating leads, he wanted me to survey this group of people called internet service providers. And I said to him, what the hell is the internet?
Mm-hmm.
So I had no idea. I mean, you were talking a guy who didn't even own a TV. I was a workaholic. All I did was, you know, keep my business rolling and growing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just disconnected from the news. I had no idea what the internet was. And he goes, he looked at me kind of odd, and he goes, you've never been on the internet? And I said, no, what is it?
That was those C prompt days, remember?
It was, back in the days of DOS.
That's right.
So he takes me to his computer, which was far beyond the kind of computer you'd be able to have yourself. He was quite the techie. Yeah,
and the monitor was like 300 pounds, but go ahead.
But he gives me a tour of the internet, about a 15-minute tour of the internet, and I was so blown away, I couldn't even believe what I was seeing. So I immediately left his office, went to a grocery store where I happened to know there was a basket full of free AOL, for so many hours of AOL for free, discs, you know, in a basket at the counter. I grabbed one, I took it home, and I opened up my first internet account. And probably a little different path than most people would take. I wanted to know, what is the internet?
Mm-hmm.
What makes it work? How does it work? Mm-hmm. Exactly, you know. And so I started on my examination of the internet, and it only took a few days, and I went, holy mackerel. You know what the growth rate looked like? it looked like in less than a decade, everyone on the planet would be plugged in. So,
and that's true statement.
Yeah, and it actually happened.
Yeah.
So anyway, I had to stop and think, because the reason I had my lead generating company, because I used telephone one-on-one communications like a stockbroker would, you know, and I got appointments for sales reps, and it was the most powerful tool available until I saw something more powerful. That was the internet.
Right.
So once I saw how powerful it was, I decided, well, I've got to be using this instead of phones. The phones are, you know, 20th century now.
You still had to use the phones, though, because you remember the old dial-up?
I know.
Oh, yeah. And that was a slow process. Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, that's what steered me in the direction. But the more I dug in, the more I understood how the internet worked, the more I knew it was going to be the marketing mecca of the future. It was going to be the center of all marketing, you know, one way or another. I just couldn't see it going any other way, because now you can communicate with people with text, with pictures, even movies. I mean, it was only theoretical back then. We didn't have movies, but, you know, we knew it was coming.
Well, streaming video was, I think, we were working on streaming video back then, if you recall.
Yeah,
but
some
of the marketing that we were doing.
This was a little earlier.
Yeah, this is earlier.
You know, this was a little earlier before we met that I experienced this mental change, you know, this attitude of...
I think a lot of people, thousands of people, felt the same as you, though.
Right.
It was
so
interesting. So
it was. So I actually, you know, had to do the opposite of grow my company. I had to shrink my company back down to nothing very gradually, so that nobody got shocked, you know. I mean, I had to let 20 employees go. I had to tell a total of over 300 companies that I wasn't going to be doing this anymore. And I didn't want to be in L.A. anymore either, so I got the hell out of L.A. and I went to
beautiful
Clearwater, Florida.
All right, Cookie. I hope
you are 20 some odd years later.
I hope that your question has been answered. Dan gave you some details there, interesting details.
Yeah, very interested. Thank you.
All right, thank you for calling in.
We got another one, right, Tommy?
Kathy is next.
All right, Kathy.
Go ahead, Kathy. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection. We have live Dan Lewis.
Yeah, I had heard that Dan had written a book. I was wondering if he could tell us a little bit about that and where you'd be able to find it.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Amazon.com.
Right for those podcasters, it's right here. It's called Business Websites 101 Secrets Revealed. Right, Dan?
Right.
And you wrote this book, I don't know how many years ago.
2010.
2010.
Weren't you paying attention to my introduction? There's a question. That,
she's always hitting me, Tommy, you know. But why don't you tell us what inspired you to write the book?
Answer.
It's kind of cool.
Well, I really was so angry when I wrote this book that the first draft of it, it took 3 months for this lady to tone it down and change the language.
Well, I know. It says in the beginning that you went to anger management classes for a while.
No, it doesn't.
I was just going to say, wow, what do you mean? What do you mean angry?
I was angry because I was the guy that had to repair and pick up pieces after these bad guys that are running around took advantage of people that became my clients. You know, a person would come in and they would become a client, and then they would tell me the sad story of what happened to them before they met me. You know, how they were taken for a ride for $10,000, which ended up becoming nothing.
And there was so much of that going on back then.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
well, I think it still is, right?
Well,
I
mean, to a certain extent.
And if you'll remember the day you agreed to buy a website from me when we first met, you wouldn't pay me a dime because somebody ripped you off for $4,000, I think it was, before I ever met you.
It's probably true. I
couldn't blame you.
it wasn't like I wasn't going to pay you, because I did pay you. Obviously.
I didn't have that feeling at all. I knew you'd pay me. It's just that
I just wanted to see
you
the
results.
You
didn't want to pay much.
But it was
I didn't want to pay him up front. I figured he'd be back in L.A., you know.
Yeah.
But the fact is that was a common thing to happen.
Yeah.
And I heard the story over and over after meeting you. you were the first guy that told me he got ripped off by somebody. And then I heard another one. I mean, over the years, it just piled up. By 2010, I'd had enough.
Yeah.
Well, there's so many shysters out there.
So that's what inspired you to write that book.
I thought, wow, maybe if I just write a simple executive summary kind of book, that it's quick and easy to read. I put it on your toilet, you know, and
put it on my toilet.
Yeah, put it behind your toilet, and when you're in the bathroom,
like,
it gives you something to read.
Is
no, next
John,
to the toilet, not behind.
It's John reading, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's good because the book, you know, helps us understand how the business websites work.
It does. I mean, it covers all the aspects that an owner needs to know. I'm not getting into the code. I'm not talking about a lot of terminology that would bury most people.
Well, that's why it's called 101.
Yeah. So it's basic. Can kind of read it and just really understand what you're
Absolutely.
Doing.
Absolutely. At least he knows what's really the case when it comes to your domain, your hosting, your design, your marketing, and the maintenance of a website are all covered in here in the most rudimentary way so that a guy can't come up and say, well, look, I'll buy your domain for you. And you see, you've read the warning in there. You're not going to be subject to that kind of shenanigans. You know, he's going to offer to buy the domain because that's why he's going to take control.
Right.
And you don't. You just say, no, let me take care of the domain.
Keeps you from getting ripped off. In fact, frankly, I mean, my position is if I start talking to new people then in that industry there's a few key words that makes me run in a different direction when they start talking that, you know, like they want to own the domain or they're going to register the photos and the photos don't belong to you. I mean, that's a bunch of BS.
Yeah. All of the pitfalls that you'll run into are covered in this book. You know, what the mechanics of the web system and, you know, having a rudimentary understanding of it makes you very difficult to fool. And that's the whole point.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're going to go to Amazon.com and do a little search for Dan Lewis's Business Websites 101.
Just put Business Websites 101.
It should pop right up.
Come right up.
And what's the cost of the book?
Oh, it's $20.
$20.
For a lot of information.
It's a good book, too. I did read the book, and I didn't read it sitting on the john. I read it laying in bed. And I didn't fall asleep.
However, if you buy it today, it's only $19.95.
Oh, wow. And if you like, he will autograph it for you as well.
Yeah.
Right?
I sure will.
Hey, Kathy, do you have any other questions?
Yeah. No, that's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling the Ameritech Connection. You have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Dan, before we left the last break, we talked a little bit about building the websites in WordPress. I know most of the websites, the good ones, are built with WordPress, correct?
Yes.
Explain the other different platforms that are available that you can build a website on. Give us the pros and the cons. You know, let our listeners understand a little bit how the actual structure of a website's built, if that makes sense.
Okay. Well, in the old days, we started out building websites in what's called HTML, and that stands for Hypertext Transfer Protocol, which is simply...
I didn't know that. Okay. Thanks for
what HTML refers to and what websites are really all about is links. You see, a hyperlink is a piece of text or an image on a web page that links to some other web page somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It could be in the same site, it could be on a completely different site. But that hyperlink is managed by the internet infrastructure itself. So it has to have a protocol. You can't just write code and not follow the protocol because it wouldn't work on the internet.
Right.
You know, sort of like you can't just plug a kid's phone, one of those toy phones that kids play with. You can't just plug that into the wall. It won't work on the telephone network because that requires a certain protocol of electronics in order to work on the telephone system.
Right.
And websites are much the same way. You have to stick with an agreed-upon protocol.
Well, they call it the platform, too,
It's
correct?
A platform, right. Yes. HTML was the first, and then another platform that developed was called PHP, and that is actually the code that WordPress is written in. But PHP constantly, improves and comes up with, new revisions of that. So you have to keep on top of that. But the other platforms that you could build a website, there's a number of companies that offer a what they call a wizard, and it's designed for somebody who has no idea what they're doing when it comes to code, and they just want to put a website together. So there's a wizard that asks you, well, what's your company name? And it sticks that up in the corner. What's your, upload your logo.
But the platform behind that is probably a WordPress type format, correct?
No. It's this is what I'm getting to. The most famous, I think, of these types are Wix, W-I-X.com. And, you know, Wix is fine, and it's okay to, you know, if you got no other choice, Wix is a good alternative, because you can actually get as the price down to free for your Wix system, but it has advertising on it. If you want to get rid of the advertising, you got to pay a little hosting fee. The problem with Wix is you can never take your Wix site anywhere else. I have a guy right now who let an employee take his beautiful custom-made website that I built him and move it to Wix, which meant redoing it, because Wix has a whole different platform. And that platform only works in one place on the world, and that's Wix.com. So you can never move your website. Hmm. It just is not portable.
So when you're searching for that website, do you have to go to the Wix website first?
No, it has its own domain.
Okay.
But, you know, it's built on the platform called Wix.
Right.
And that platform is not portable. That's one of the beautiful parts about WordPress. It is portable. Every web server in the country will let you transfer a WordPress website from one server to another.
Right.
So if you want to change hosting companies, it's easy to do.
Right. So yeah. WordPress is probably the best platform. And all my sites are built on WordPress.
All of them. Yes.
You know, Dan, I'm sitting here listening to you, and I'm just impressed with all your knowledge. How do you keep up? How do you keep this knowledge? I mean, technology changes constantly. How do you keep up with it? I'm curious.
I like challenges, and that's why I chose this business. One of the reasons is because I knew it would be this way. I knew it would never stop.
Right, right. It's challenging.
I like to read a lot. I read a lot, and it takes a lot of reading just to keep up with the constant changes. Mm-hmm. But I know enough about search engines that I'm very skilled nowadays in how I search for things. I know exactly what to ask for, and that's the trick. When you have a search engine and you ask the wrong thing, you get a lot of garbage. If you're careful and you ask for exactly what you want, then Google will provide it.
Interesting. Right. Folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to be back in 2 minutes.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Joe owns his own business and, like you, is bombarded with hundreds of insurance offers. Joe can't decide exactly what or how much coverage he needs. Joe called Aegis Insurance Group. Joe met with an Aegis business advisor, and together they designed an insurance program specifically for Joe's needs. If you're confused about your insurance needs, call Aegis Insurance Group. Aegis, insurance protection tailored for you. Call today. 1-855-227-0262.
Do you serve on the board of a condominium association? Or how about a homeowners association? Here's a well-known fact. Page & Company are probably the best accounting firm for community associations. With over 18 years of experience specializing in audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, you must get a quote from Page & Company for your association's financial reporting requirements. So give Page & Company Certified Public Accountants a call at 727-726-2785. Get the personal service you deserve.
Meritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Having a digital presence for your business is a vital part of your company's success. ProfitGate Web is your complete website resource center, offering web design and hosting, marketing, video production and media management, domain registration, and more. ProfitGate keeps your site up and running, providing exceptional and, most importantly, reliable service since 1999. Call ProfitGate and schedule your digital analysis today. 727-585-3850 or visit their website, ProfitGateWeb.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back, folks, to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Dan Lewis from ProfitGate. And we're talking all about association websites. Yeah. Isn't that right, Sharon?
That's right, Mike. And, you know, during the commercial break, I was just thinking, Dan, websites are fantastic. We've talked about all the benefits, and we're going to continue talking about it. But what about Facebook pages? When associations has a Facebook page, my idea of that is that it can be very positive, but at the same time, it can be some very hateful comments put on there. And so what's your opinion?
Well, I think...
Or Facebook versus a website, you know what I'm saying?
Well, that's what, right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean...
Yeah. Well, there's no comparing the two because, first of all, you have complete control of a website and you have very little control of Facebook. And,
true.
You know, second of all...
So if you get a disgruntled homeowner, they could be posting all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, anybody can put stuff on your Facebook. You know, it would be
They don't even have to live there.
You can
right?
delete it, but it would be a nightmare to manage.
You're chasing it. You're constantly chasing it. Yeah. So,
but also, you know, Facebook is a personal thing. It's a social page for an individual person. Companies can have Facebook pages too, but they start by being based on a person's Facebook, and then you add a page. Like the owner of the company takes his Facebook and he adds a page for his company.
Right.
All right, well, you still have this is a social arena, and it's really not a business arena, and basically you're opening yourself up to a lot of extra work you might have to do just to take all the junk off that somebody might put on there. Hateful things could be put on there.
Right.
Very, very unacceptable stuff that would still pass under the radar of Facebook could be detrimental to your group.
Right, right. Which of course, in our business, you know, there's disgruntled homeowners all the time. Either they receive a non-compliance letter, they're upset, they don't understand the process, they didn't pay their maintenance fees. I mean, there's a number of different things, and we get that all the time.
I'm sure.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that we can put on an association website, such as content. Why don't you go through the list? I know you put a list together, and so did we, but what are some of the things that we can, you know, that's really beneficial for a community association to have on their website?
For our listeners out there.
Okay. Well, obviously, the board of directors' information is paramount. And
As we mentioned earlier, you know, you have that contact information, that email, president at.
Who's the president? Who's the treasurer? Who's the secretary?
Yeah, the entire board.
All that information is very, very relevant.
Exactly. And, you know, this obviously is going to change from year to year, too. That has to be maintained.
Right.
But, you know, you have meeting dates, and sometimes those meeting times are changed. So you have a bulletin board on the internet to let everybody know.
Well, right. Which is good because, you know, we can put the meeting dates on a regular basis.
You've got your board meetings, and you've got your annual meetings, your budget meetings.
And you can make announcements by email, too. You can send out an email to everybody in the group.
Whoever, yeah, it's correct.
We just hired Ameritech Community Management, and we'd like you to come out and meet them.
Yep. And then for those who don't make it to those meetings, you can put your minutes on the website.
You can put approved and unapproved.
And people can see what happened at those meetings.
Yeah, right. I agree.
We already mentioned that the documents that the homeowners need from time to time, they're all there.
Yeah.
A nice nice place. And if there's a revision to one of them, it's simple enough to upload a new version of that.
Well, the documents are real important because we get realtors that call all the time and say, well, we're trying to sell this house in this unit, and you know, the seller, the owner has lost their documents. Can you get us a copy? And without a website, you know, we're going to charge them $35, $45 to print off because they're very thick, to print off and mail a copy to them when, in fact, if they got a website, All they have to do is print it themselves because everything is right there on the website.
It's also important for that potential buyer, to know what the rules and regs are in that community. They may not like that, and they may not want to buy into that community. So you can dock those there
and
as well.
And that's the next thing that needs to be on there is the rules.
Yeah.
Rules
yeah.
and regulations are always a good
Very
thing.
Very important.
And that way you can truly say that ignorance of the rules is no excuse.
And true.
Since it's on the internet.
That's right.
Yes, that's true.
And then we have residency applications and architectural applications, which are real important.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where they're interactive, too, because they can fill that information out. It gets emailed to the property manager. The property manager, if it's a residency application, can go and pull the background checks on that individual. And same as such with the architectural applications. If there's any changes that they want to do to their property, they need proper approval and so forth.
These are some good items to make interactive. If you're going to make it more interactive, these are good places to start.
Right.
There's also frequently asked questions that saves the board a lot of time. And I don't know how many phone calls come into an association office every year that are just simple questions they hear over and over again, but the frequently asked questions on the website.
The FAQ, too, is sometimes there's standard questions that mortgage companies will require a community to answer before they'll lend in that community.
Oh, really?
So yeah, so those FAQs are real important, and we always like to have those online so that
budgets. That's very important. Anybody that's considering buying in the community, your association payment information, what I mentioned earlier, work orders, stopples
and transfer information is always good.
That's very vital, I believe. There's just so much that you can put on there. It's just chock full of information.
Well, we got mitigation certificates, association insurance information, official notices can be put on there, newsletters and bulletins. We talked a little bit about that.
All right.
And certainly the management contact information. Now, we got time for one more question before we go into another break. But
yeah.
What's the difference between an association's website being private or public? Can you just touch on that real quick?
Well, you can make your whole website private.
Right.
And it's as simple as having your pages inside the website require a password. And that can be added very simply and easily. If it's public, then the whole website can be open to anyone.
Okay.
Simple as that.
Right. All right, folks. Listen, we're going to be right back. We got a commercial break. Keep listening. We'll be right back with that and much more on the Ameritech Connection.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
Ameritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called the Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on TAN Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on TAN Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the TAN Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company, look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.
WTAN Clearwater,
FM 106.1,
WDCF Dade City,
FM 102.3,
WZHR Zephyr Hills,
FM 104.3.
Listen.